Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So some kind of big news for the Redskins yesterday in that the news came out that Alex Smith has had the external fixator removed.
Thank God.
From his leg. So he has no more metal attached to his leg.
Thank God.
His wife sent out like an Instagram. I see a picture of him holding the external fixator in one of the stories.
Such a good dude.
The question is, do you think he'll find his way back into the NFL?
But who knows? I mean, I'm rooting for him. I hope he can find a way. I mean, he has to relearn how to walk again, mm-hmm. relearn how to run again, and just think about how fragile that leg is with all those surgeries they've been through,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the infection.
JP, I would bet against it, but
rooting
who knows?
For him.
It probably kind of takes a miracle for him to get back on the field.
I'm rooting
for him.
If you
give him a whole year, yeah, but I kind of think he'll find his way back. Not as
a
starter,
who's the tight end for the Bears that injured his leg? It was similar to that. Zach Miller?
Yeah. I think that's right, yeah.
He was trying to get back.
Right.
And it took him a long time to just run normally. Mm-hmm. And then he finally, didn't he just announce his retirement a few weeks ago?
And I'm guessing, was he younger than Alex Smith when this happened?
Yeah.
He didn't have 17 surgeries related to infection, did he?
Right.
I don't think he had a lot of surgeries, but I'm not sure if he had infections.
Right.
But my point is, it was a devastating injury, and he wasn't able to come back.
I think
owners not bet on him is because he says he wants to, and if he says he wants to and he's going to work towards it, he seems like he might be a worker. Yeah, I have no idea.
He works as hard as anybody. Yeah,
doesn't matter how hard you want. Your body might just betray you. You just mm-hmm. can't do it at the same level.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't have the muscle.
He may try. He may try to make a comeback.
Oh, he's definitely going to try.
I just noticed the video that I saw, the picture I saw yesterday when he had the fixator off, how swollen it still looks, from the knee down.
And think about how fragile it is.
Mm-hmm. How weak.
You know, how weak it is down there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy's really going to subject that to NFL linemen diving at his legs with helmets.
I mean, he'll know how his body is feeling and reacting. So he'll know
in a few months if he can ever run again.
Right.
Who knows?
He's still guaranteed over $40 million.
Whatever the guarantee is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. But yeah.
Must be nice.
He's fine on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not NBA type money, but it's great money.
He's financially set. It's not about the money. It's about lifestyle. It's about leaving on your own terms. It's about being part of a team. And, you know.
Look, he's still young, relatively young. I think he'll find his way back. Yeah. Probably won't have a start.
I love
in the
your
league
optimism.
Again.
I just don't know how.
He's always optimistic.
I love the optimism.
He's the eternal optimist.
But you got to be, I mean, you're talking about the elite of the elite. He's got to be able to run, not just like run like JP on the treadmill, but he's got to be able to run at an elite level to get back and be able to subject that leg.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, but he made his bones, a lot of it, with his legs.
Bones. I see what you did there.
He's got to also be able to withstand the hits. I just don't know that NFL doctor's going to clear him. What doctor's going to clear him to take hits?
It's going to take some time. It's going to take at least a year.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he'll ever
look. We're all pulling for him, but.
But if he rehabs for a
year. It's going to be very difficult for him.
I just don't think it's a normal broken leg.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not. I don't think it is.
And look, this is a crass thing to say, but I'll say it. He wasn't playing very well when he was injured.
Agreed.
So, like 2 years away from the game, how is he going to come back? If he gets his health back close to 100%,
he could be.
Yeah, but was he playing poorly because the game had passed him by, or just having kind of a mediocre season?
Didn't have great weapons around him.
Yeah. I don't think it was because, you know, he was old.
Plus, he was in a Skins uniform, and most guys who wear that don't play very
makes
well.
Makes everybody play poorly.
Hey, but they were winning games.
They were finding a field to win games.
He wasn't throwing picks, which we found out was enough to help them win games.
They were 6-3 in his
starts. I don't want to goof on him because he's such a nice guy, and everyone's
rooting
for him.
It was crass, but I mean, just look at the numbers from his last.
Very crass.
I agree.
He wasn't playing great. You're right.
He was the king of 178-yard games.
Yeah, if you want a guy who's
I think he hit that total three times.
If you want a guy who's not going to turn the ball over and throw for about 200 yards and one touchdown per game, Alex Smith is your guy.
Well, also Case Keenum. And I think that's why they signed Case Keenum. I think he's going to do a similar bit.
I don't think Keenum
I don't think
it's the 178. Keenum at least throws it in the 200s.
Well, I think he also throws more pickles.
He does. Oh,
of course
he does. He turns the ball.
One year had, didn't he go like 22-7 or something like that? Yeah. Pretty darn good year.
Protecting really the ball. Good year. Yep.
Protecting the ball.
Yep.
I think that's what they're going to ask him to do. I think it's going to look a lot like Alex Smith with Case Keenum.
Mm. Well, I would bet on him right now. I don't know enough about what's happening inside his leg. He has a desire, at least from what you hear, to get back to the league. So I could see him as a future clipboard holder.
As a backup?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Dwayne Haskins will be the starter.
And that's still a great life, being a backup
quarterback. I mean, he's got 3 years left on his contract. He probably wants to collect all the checks, so he works back, wants to get back in the game and somehow. Still young. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
Be with your kids? Coach?
Yeah, it's hard, though. It's hard because he's a player his whole life.
He can do TV.
Yeah, there's things he could do, but it's hard to shift. He wasn't ready to shift.
Right.
He was ready to play another 5 years. So I think it's hard. And you want to leave on your own terms.
Yeah, but he may be forced to call it quits.
I think he is going to be ultimately forced to call it quits. But I don't begrudge him for trying for 2 years even to come back.
I think it's good news for the Reds because it's a no-lose, right? You got to pay him anyway. So if he finds his way back, then he can ultimately be your backup quarterback.
He's a better backup than either of the options that you have right now.
I just can't see NFL linemen diving in his legs. Mm. I can't see anybody signing off on that.
Also, some good news for the Redskins yesterday. The Cowboys are having to deal with a potential Ezekiel Elliott holdout. That whole contract situation with Zeke, Amari Cooper, and Dak Prescott, it hasn't been resolved. All those guys, I think, need new contracts. And they haven't been able to do it.
Well, you know what?
Dak wants like $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not worth it, but you're kind of stuck.
He is their franchise quarterback right now.
If you can't really pay Zeke before you pay Dak, you run out of money.
And you got Melvin Gordon doing the same thing, talking about the holdout. I don't know, man. You got to pay your best players. You got to find a way to do it.
Yeah, but I can't overpay my running back.
Yeah, probably not.
I just can't. If I'm going to overpay somebody, I'm overpaying my quarterback and his top weapon, Amari Cooper, his top receiving weapon.
Hmm.
And I know that Zeke is a huge part of that offense, but I just can't pour a ton of money into a running back. Look, Todd Gurley got a ton of money, and now he's dealing with an arthritic knee. LeSean McCoy is one of the highest earning running backs in the league, and he can't perform at the same level anymore.
Who's dealing with arthritic knee?
Gurley. Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Gurley. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So there's questions about him. I can't give my running back $15 to $18 million
a
season.
He's only 23 years
old.
Doesn't
matter.
I mean, he's only been in the league 3 years.
He's only 23.
I just can't outlay that sort of money.
Look at the yards he's piled up.
I know.
While missing games.
I think I could for Zeke for a few more years.
The only thing about Zeke is he does have kind of all this off-the-field stuff.
Oh, I've heard he's crazy.
Pops up all the time.
No, I've heard, like, psychologically he's crazy.
Didn't, a new assault charge come up in the last week or two?
I know that he was involved in something out like at a music festival in Vegas.
He may not have been charged, but
it wasn't a good look for him. But I think it was relatively minor. Like a security guard got in his face. He may have.
I mean, he wasn't arrested.
Yeah, he wasn't arrested. It was just a bad look for a guy who's had issues in the past.
Yeah, but I differ from Cakes. I'm probably going to find a way to satisfy Zeke Elliott's needs right now. He's only 23. You got another 2-3 years you can grind him up. Then you can spit him out.
Right.
He's owed.
Or, though, you could go with this option. He's been in the league for 3 years. I think he signed a rookie deal with a fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Team's option. You just ride it out.
Well, you could.
Is he really going to pull a Le'Veon
Bell? Is he going to hold out for he's owed $9 million next year, I think?
3.85 this year.
And then 9 next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you grind him out those 2 years under contract.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll play for 3.8. I don't think he's going to put his body at risk.
You think he'd pull a Le'Veon Bell?
At least for a while, yeah. I do think he would. Hey, listen.
That's hard to walk away from that kind of money.
Who's got a better case than Zeke Elliott for restructuring his deal? I mean, they do these things all the time. He's worth more than 3.8.
Yeah. Well, that's a combustible situation in Dallas with the three big guys, offensive weapons, all seeking new contracts and new deals.
All right, well, they're not going to let them all hold out and go, so they're going to find a way to restructure something. They're going to have a couple of those guys in camp.
Listen, I'm just concerned about the Trent Williams deal. I don't even care about Zeke. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, but you'd like to see Dallas blow up.
Yeah, but they'll be They'll find a way. I think Jerry will find a way.
He'll find a way. He knows how important Elliott is to their offense.
Jerry will find a way. But I'm more worried about my skins. I'm worried about the...
Well, there's no news on Trent Williams.
There's no news.
I'll just bet this. When we're in Richmond, which is July 29th through the 31st,
yeah,
I'm going to bet he won't be there.
Yeah, you won't see him. You won't be seeing him.
It's hard to argue that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know what's going to resolve that. Is he just going to not want to miss checks and ultimately
stroll in? I think he'll show
in?
Up by week one. That's what I believe will happen.
And then maybe ultimately that'll be fine. Just bank on his professionalism, keeping himself in shape. You know he's a gamer. Play hurt.
I'll just bank on he's better than Eric Flowers or whoever else they're going to put there.
Well, that's
guaranteed. Better than Eric Flowers. So, I don't think there's much debating whether he's better than Eric Flowers or any other tackle that's on the roster.
Yeah.
Eric Flowers is a big disaster.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know if he goes to games, but did you see the Angry Bagel guy as a Redskins fan?
I did not. No,
I saw
he's not.
Luke Thomas he's really tweeted us that.
He was doing like
how
the
did
media
he know?
Tour.
How did he find out?
Because he was doing the media tour.
And he acknowledged.
I think he was on Luke's show.
And that's why he's so angry.
Well, I don't know that that's why he's so angry.
It's a contributing factor.
The guy lives in a van, EB.
Listen, I didn't click on the video because I don't care. Right. He yelled at some dude about a bagel. Is that what it is? He just got it crazy.
He was just an idiot. He's just a loser.
Yeah, and he's like 4 feet tall
and
or something.
And then some guy who was a gorilla tackled him in about 2 seconds and pummeled him. Will the thrill.
Are you there, Will?
What's up, guys? How you doing? I don't know what's happening. If my phone is a giant piece of crap or what's going on here, but I can kind of hear you.
Did you watch the Angry Bagel Guy video?
Everybody watched it.
I didn't. Well, I didn't click on it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it, but like, I didn't really need to watch it because I've known Pete Prisco for like 12 years. So it's really, I really already knew what the video was about and what he was doing. He's an angry bagel eating, short tan man yelling obscenities at somebody in the bagel shop.
He's certainly an angry guy when it comes to the Redskins. Man, he never has a good opinion on those guys. Although I think he liked their draft. I think he gave him a good draft grade. Prisco.
Well, in Pete's defense, I mean, it's not like if you've been fading the Redskins for the past 15 years, it's not like you were, you know, in the minority or not smart, right? I mean, they've had some hits, but by and large, if you've been, you know, complaining about what the Redskins did and giving a bad grade, you probably looked fairly smart.
Right.
I know Le'Veon Bell sat out all of last year, but if Zeke holds out, if here in D.C., if Trent Williams holds out, do you think they go by this Le'Veon Bell model? Is this going to be the model just miss a whole season?
Give up all that money?
No. It's not happening with those guys. It's not happening with Melvin Gordon. It's easy to say, like, oh, you know, we saw Le'Veon Bell miss an entire year. Anyone can do this. Le'Veon Bell was on his second franchise tag. You know, he'd been tagged once by the Steelers and played on the tag and then came back and got tagged again and decided, I'm not doing that. And I understand that, you know, like, Trent Williams is a little different because he negotiated his contract. He just doesn't trust the team or whatever anymore. Zeke Elliott, you know, it was a CBA negotiated deal because of the rookie slot, but he still signed and he still made a bunch of money. I understand what he and Melvin Gordon are trying to do. They're saying, listen, you know, we know you're going to tag us. You might tag us twice and then dump us in free agency. And so we're going to try and, you know, use now to get our money and maximize our leverage. But the bottom line is, they stand to lose so much money off their regular contracts and potentially have the season, they have to play a certain number of games in order to not have the contract hold for an additional year. So, they got to get that service time in. So to me, it would be a shock if either of those guys actually hold out. But I understand why they're doing it because they don't think correctly that the Cowboys and Chargers respectively are interested in handing them a big brand new contract. And they're not. I mean, those teams want to try and run these running backs into the ground and then potentially let them walk in free agency.
Right. Well, you can't blame them. I'm taking this from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. He tweeted this on July 12th that the highest paid running backs in the league right now, at least for the last season, were Gurley, David Johnson in Arizona, Freeman in Atlanta, and McCoy in Buffalo. Those guys have either missed like half of seasons with injury. McCoy is clearly not the player he was. You can't pay these running backs huge sums of money and then expect them to keep producing at the level or not get hurt and miss half of a season. It's smart on the team's part.
Well, and like we love those group together, and that's fine, but look at the salary disparity. I mean, the top three running backs are Gurley, who has an arthritic knee and may or may not be able to ever play football at his high level again. Le'Veon Bell, who just had to fight for 2 years of a franchise tag to get to free agency and then signed a deal with the Jets, obviously. And then there's a big drop-off, right? And then David Johnson's at $13 million, too. He signed a very early deal. I mean, he was a third round pick. He was trying to get himself some cash in his pocket. And then you have those three guys who are 13 plus. And then you have McCoy and Devonta Freeman who are at like eight or 8.5. I mean, so there's a huge gap. Now that makes it kind of interesting because I think at least in the case of Melvin Gordon, the Chargers can go to Melvin Gordon and say, listen, we have your fifth year option coming up at $5.6 million. We can tag you next year and one more year after that, and that's going to get our total to about $30 or $31 million. So here's what we're willing to do. We will give you a two-year extension for a total, like, you do a two-year extension at $26 million, and you give him a two-year extension at $26 million plus his $5.6 million this year. So you basically get him to a three-year $31 million extension. Now, that's a lot of money, but it's not outrageous money for a running back. It's a short contract. It slots him in between those two guys, the $8 million and the $13 million guys, and it lets you move on without having to deal with this offseason nonsense. It puts some money in Melvin Gordon's pocket. I think that's what's going to happen with the Chargers. I would say the same thing is going to happen with the Cowboys, but I think the problem is Zeke Elliott now has led the league in rushing two out of his 3 years as a starter in the NFL. He's led the league in rushing yards per game all three seasons of his career, except for that second season he was suspended by the NFL. I don't think Zeke Elliott is going to be willing to take less than David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell when it comes to his contract. So that could become a sticking point, at least for those guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to sneak in kind of a fantasy-related question.
Ooh, I like it.
What is going on with Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I think that's a national NFL storyline, too. I took him in a mock draft last night in the fourth round and felt terrible about it. I mean, not just as a human being, but also, right. like I went running back to start, and don't do that, guys. Don't go running back. Draft those wide receivers early because they drop off quick in that third and fourth round. Tyreek Hill, here's my thought on it, is – this is a guy that has a pretty decent history of being a fairly bad person off the field, at least allegedly. I don't even know if it's all alleged. He has a long history of some problems off the field. And there's a child involved in this case. There is an audio recording. There is no video recording that the NFL knows about. But if you look at the timeline on this, consider first that this is the 100th season, 100th anniversary of the NFL. They are going to be pumping that up from now until the end of the year and glorifying the NFL in its 100th year. The last thing they want is a week one headline about Tyreek Hill playing when he has a domestic child-related incident that the courts are involved with hanging over his head. And then you look at the timeline for this court thing, right? The NFL said, we're going to let it all play out. Until they realized there was no chance it was going to wrap up before the season. And then they flew their investigators immediately to Kansas City, which tells me that they're going to render a verdict on the NFL side of things before or during training camp, well ahead of the season, to keep this off everyone's radar. And because of that, the way that they're approaching it, in my opinion, what they're going to do is go to Tyreek Hill and say, listen, we will suspend you 6 games right now. You have to drop your appeal. You have a prior history, but we're going to use 6 games, and you agree not to appeal. If you attempt to appeal, we will give you 8 games. Now, maybe it's 4 and 6 instead of 6 and 8, but I think he is definitely going to be facing some kind of suspension because the NFL remembers what happened with Rice was given two games to start the year. A video emerged. It submarined everything else about the season, and they are desperate to not have that happen this year in the 100th anniversary.
That's true. Are the Browns a playoff team this year?
They might be. I did Cleveland radio yesterday, and they're like, okay, listen, around here, if you mention that the Browns might win only 9 games, people get mad at you.
Oh, really?
Like, it's got a little out of control. So I would take the under on the Browns at 9. They've won 8 games the last 3 years. So I'm willing to – they've got improvements, right? The front office is better. The coaching staff has improved. They got some red flags too, right? If you listen to my podcast, daily CBS Sports NFL podcast, Pick 6 podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, I think. Shameless plug, he said. The Mary Kay Cabot came on there and said that currently, as we're talking, Todd Monken and Freddie Kitchens are creating this new offense for the Browns. There's not as much consistency with Baker in terms of what he was doing last year. There is some. But they're creating a new offense for him, and so there's going to be hiccups. The offensive line is replacing multiple starters. There are going to be some hiccups up there. Freddie Kitchens is a first-year head coach. I think he's awesome. I love hearing him talk. I think he's a great offensive line. I think he's going to inspire these guys, but he's still a first-year head coach. That's a hard spot to be in. You have a lot going on, a lot more on your plate, and all these things in-game that you can't recreate until it actually happens. So, to me, there are some opportunities there for potential hiccups on that side of the ball. Defensively, they got some holes too. I mean, the front seven's very good. Linebackers are okay, and there's some nice players in the secondary. But it's not like this is the 2008 Steelers or anything like that. And on top of that, they're the favorites in the division. So there's a lot of pressure. People are expecting, the expectations are sky high.
Right.
I think taking the Steelers to win the division at plus 180 is the best bet in football right now, because to me, Pittsburgh shouldn't be an underdog. I could see Cleveland sneaking in as a wild card, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went 7-9 and had a good season, but not a great season. I mean, that should be cause for celebration, not a meltdown city in Cleveland.
I just checked my betting site, and their win total is 9.5, and it's skewed to the over, minus 140 on the over 9.5.
Well, I'm on my phone, and I can't go to my computer, otherwise you'll hear my son shrieking at Lego Jake. But if you have their schedule, I know they open with Tennessee, but then they have 2 road games, and they're like 4 of their first 6 games, I think, are on prime time. I mean, it's not a guarantee they're going to come out of the gate 6-0. If they come out of the gate like 1-3. People are going to panic, and it's just going to be tougher to get to 10 wins. I think it can happen. They're really good. They have a ton of good players. I buy into the Browns. I love the Browns. I just think the hype has gotten a little excessive. They're not one of the 5 biggest Super Bowl favorites in my mind on paper, even though they are in Vegas.
Their first 5, by the way, you mentioned the Titans are at the Browns, then the Browns are at the Jets, Rams at the Browns at Baltimore, Browns at 49ers.
Hey, that's not easy. The 49ers and Titans and Jets and Ravens are like, all right, these teams aren't that dangerous. But 3 of those games are on the road. I think 2 of them, the Rams and the Jets, are in prime time. I know that Jets game is a Monday Night Football game, I think.
Yep.
Your Rams, NBC, like, yep.
I mean, you think the Rams are just going to roll over for the Browns? Yeah. I don't think the Titans game is a free roll either. I think Tennessee is a pretty solid team, and they'll be healthy coming into week 1. I'm not, the Browns might start 5-0 and make me look like an idiot, but I mean, I would take the under on the Browns, and I just think there's an opportunity to fade, a very rare opportunity to fade the public that is all backing the Browns. I mean, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, 10 wins is a lot. Minus 140 to get to 10 wins. I don't know.
We might be chopping that one.
I got to look at that one.
Might be chopping that one up, Jason.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Will, thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy. Good stuff.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Have a great week.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Will.
Got to see a little display of Drab T-shirt in his new position. He's assistant program director.
He is, yes.
So he has a little more swagger now.
He's in charge a little bit, especially when CK's away.
Brought Roger in during the break, who's one of the engineers. We've had Roger on the show.
Mm-hmm. We have.
And he pointed to the 2 TVs here, and he said, these are the 2 most important TVs in the building.
Yes. And I was feeling good about it. I thought because, they were servicing us.
Right.
But he was like, no, they're on television.
Right.
Either way. It's embarrassing.
No, for you guys, they are as well. I'm just letting Roger know.
No, I get it.
Keeping it simple.
Right. And is Roger on it?
We're on it. He thinks that's an HD box right next to Jason.
It's an HD box. I don't think there's HD cables going into that thing.
Yeah. Right, of course. We're going to just get a 50-foot HDMI cable.
It's the worst picture in the country.
And yeah. NBC Sports Wall. Well, I just beat their featuring it right
same
now.
Same thing with this one. That's not
that's
HD.
That's a little bit better.
But that's not HD. It just doesn't have...
It's not crooked or anything either.
But that doesn't have the... Whatever.
They're both crooked. They're both HD. Hard definition on both of them.
Yeah. Because we're not running the proper cables into the back of them. Who would put in low-def cables into a modern television?
They have coax.
Hey.
Yeah, this hurts.
They're cutting corners.
Cutting corners.
Cheapos.
Right. Cutting corners. Roger.
Well, they're like 20-inch televisions, too. I mean, come on.
No, those are 42s.
42 standards.
My buddy Tom Ely paid $8,000 for one of those when they first came out.
Did he get the first one off the assembly line?
I think so.
Ever?
Yeah. 4 inches thick.
42s are
it's like
poo.
A piano.
You have a 42-inch television? That's
nubs.
Don't you think so?
Well, it depends on the room.
What room.
It all depends.
Like
on
in
the room.
Your office, it's too much TV. It just depends,
it depends
on
the fit.
I disagree.
Never too much.
That would be too small for my office.
Big time.
I know. You have a big ass house. I understand. You live in a castle. Mm-hmm. Most of us live in normal homes.
Our carpeted castle.
Yeah. He also has 5 feet of fur balls.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
Hey, I never got to this story. This it's just hurting. But who doesn't remember Peter North? Is there a person in this room? Ask Roger if he knows who Peter North is.
I would say that.
What do you want to bet, by the way? Do you want to bet?
Val Diesel, no, but I don't think
I'm going to say he doesn't.
Trevor Adam will know.
I mean, he knows all things technical, but I don't know how plugged in he is otherwise.
I'm going to bet Drab and Adam don't know.
So. Okay, I'll bet you. I'll take all the money in the world from Drabby.
Drab?
I mean, $1 billion.
That's his hero.
Dude.
He's so young.
You think
that's
those videos old-timers. Drabby, will you answer the question first? Do you know? Or can I bet you how much you would bet? $5 million?
What's the question? Roger and I are sharing headphones over here.
Oh, okay.
What's the question?
Do you know who... Don't poison Roger. Do you know who Peter North is?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have my dollar.
All right, what about Adam? What about Adam?
I'm not sure about Adam. He's particularly stupid, and he is very, very young.
I don't think he would know.
I might still be willing to go double or nothing on it.
Adam doesn't.
All right, but let's ask Roger. Roger. Hey, buddy. I know I want you to fix the TV and everything. That is the priority.
This is awkward.
Is this an awkward
question? Yeah, but I like it. I like it.
Right. But this is kind of, we just need to know this.
I'm going to say no.
What do you say?
I'm in on no.
I think he doesn't know that many. I could name a lot of people. I don't think he would know the answer. But I don't think. All right.
I'm going to say no. He doesn't know.
You're saying no.
Yeah.
No.
And we're going to know, by the way, if he's lying. Because he'll start laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he laughs at a lot.
He laughs at everything.
All right.
He laughed at the coax line.
This guy was just arrested for domestic violence. It's terrible. Okay. It's a terrible story.
By the way, how old is he?
He's in his 50s.
All right.
Might even be close to 60. Roger.
What's that? Yep.
Do you know? I'm so embarrassed to ask this.
No, you don't.
Drabby can't even look at you.
You don't.
Do you know who Peter North is?
Who's 62, by the way.
Have you ever heard of the name Peter North?
Vaguely.
Vaguely.
What
is that? That's a yes. That's a yes.
Not necessarily.
We didn't know what he's known for.
What is he known for?
Well, broad has to be broad. Yeah.
Don't get too specific.
I don't know. It's just not. It's not good, right?
He doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know.
No, I think he knows.
No, he doesn't.
Hold on. Do you want to write it down? Write down for Aldiz. What do you think he's known for?
Yeah.
You're good.
Or his profession.
Yeah, what is his profession?
What is his profession? Right. If you give us his profession, that
we're
counts
as we're just trying to find out how famous he is.
I just don't remember. Was it some bad story about him or something?
See, he doesn't know.
He doesn't.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't.
All right. So you know, that's fine. Fine. You don't know.
I didn't think
B.
I knew.
Do you know who Ron Jeremy is? That one you know. I hit it. That one you know.
What's that?
He doesn't know.
He might not know.
All right. Let me try this.
He's got a woman, I think.
All right. Let me try this. Do you know who Babe Ruth is? Why is Babe Ruth famous? I'm just trying to figure out your breadth of knowledge here.
Well, you know, I guess because he was legendary. You know?
Legendary for what? What was he legendary for? Babe Ruth.
He was playing, right?
Playing what sport?
Baseball.
Okay, good one.
I bet you he knows. I bet you he knows who the director of the 1965 Godzilla film was.
He's a movie buff, right? You're a Godzilla guy?
He loves the Zillas.
He knows who Rodan is.
Oh, yeah.
He knows who King Ghidorah is.
Well, I don't know any of that stuff. Who's Rodan?
He knows who Mothra is.
Oh, yeah. Who's Mothra? I don't know that. What is that?
Mothra's big monster.
One of the big ones.
It's a giant moth. Spoiler alert.
Tore up Tokyo, right?
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you know who Jenna Jameson is?
No way.
No.
Impossible.
Wow, he's got no carbon footprint above his house.
None.
Right? Yeah. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, but he's probably got a 200-foot radio tower sticking off his roof.
Well, that might contribute.
I'll tell you what, he's got better pictures than this.
Yeah.
His house.
All right, well, I stand corrected then. Are you surprised and upset, Valdez?
Radio insider.
I mean, I'm not that surprised.
Really?
I didn't know Peter North's famous for mugshots now.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different kind of shot. Yeah, but he's arrested. Yeah. And by the way, you got to Google this chick. Let's do this real quick before the break. You got to Google Jody Harrison Bauer. Okay?
I know Roger doesn't know who she is.
No, nobody does. But Jody, because I want to see other pictures. She's 58 years old. She's a smoke show. And she's trying to become the first over 50 non-celebrity chick to be a swimsuit model for Sports Illustrated. And, I mean,
you deserve it.
From the pictures I've seen, I don't see why the hell not. I don't know.
She's lobbying for it?
I don't know. I guess she's going to show up for auditions. They say there's no age cutoff, so she's taking advantage of that loophole.
Join us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline. It's Steve Elkington. Won 10 times on the PGA Tour, including the 95 PGA.
Solid.
Players Championships. And he's the creator of Secret Golf Platform. Secret Golf covers every aspect of the golf swing with instructional videos from PGA and LPGA Tour players. What's up, Steve?
Good morning, golf junkies.
What's going
we
on,
are
Steve?
This week.
Can your Secret Golf Platform, can it help my snap hook off the tee? I can't get rid of it.
Oh, he's got a massive snap.
Measured in acres, right?
Yeah. You? Pretty much.
Oh, it's embarrassing. Hey, Steve, what should we know about this course? They haven't played the Open there in, what, since 1951, I believe? Not sure how
Yeah, we're talking about Royal Port Rush.
Royal Port Rush, yes.
You know, what I know about it is it's, you know, it's a typical, you know, awesome Irish piece of ground that was just hand-picked right out on a point. I mean, if it was in San Diego, they'd have the Four Seasons up there. But in this case, it's a undulating, you know, dunes that's been covered with grass, and then it's just been shredded through just the most epic holes that the wind crosses it. And it's just a... It's just something so far that's just emerged as like the greatest course that these guys have ever seen in the, you know, in the preliminary.
Wow. Why'd they wait so long to have it there again?
Mate, I think they were having some bomb issues up there in Northern Ireland, mate, that they were trying to dodge.
That'll do it for me.
I know that.
Yeah.
Have you ever played the course?
I have not.
Yeah.
But I was listening to Darren Clark yesterday, who's, I guess, lives in Port Rush, and he said that, you know, I like to listen to some of these guys' interviews, that particularly the ones that are have a brain, and he said that there's a lot of dog legs on this course. I did the flyovers. We can talk about that. I did the flyovers for our app, but there's a lot of dog legs, and if you elect to go across the dog leg, these guys have got plenty of length to go across, of course, but if they push or pull or they miss that line... Mm-hmm. It's literally going to be lost ball. So, you know, America has a sort of a love, sort of hate relationship with the British Open. We'll call it the British Open because it looks different. And, right. And if Tiger's not in it, it's sort of we all kind of tune out. But, you know, to me, when I used to go over there, it was such an opportunity. I sucked at when I played links golf when I first went over there because the turf is so firm. It's like hitting off a tabletop and it's like, windy, and you've got to make the ball spin less so it doesn't, you know, spin back or it doesn't go anywhere into the wind. So I finished up being a pretty good links player. I finished up getting beaten the playoff in the 2002 British Open at Muirfield, and I almost won the one that John Daly was in a playoff with Constantino Rocca. So I kind of became a better Lynx player, and this is the epic Lynx test this week, because there's flat Lynx, there's medium undulation, but this one will be like a Formula One track. This is like Monaco.
Yeah, wow.
So who does that favor, in your opinion?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, I have a gambling app now, a gaming app in Secret Golf, so I'm not telling you all my picks this week.
Oh, but, I love it.
You know, the old, expression over there is, you're going to get some funky bounces. You're going to get some craziness that happens to your ball. You can even hit a good shot down there and get it kicked sideways. But I think over the course of the week, this course is going to separate the field. I think there's going to be some guys that get away from the field because it is going to rain and it is going to be windy. When I say windy, for them, they say 15 to 20 is nothing. Mm-hmm. So, that's a big shock for the guys coming from Iowa that just played John Deere, right? I mean, they've been up there eating pork chop sandwiches and, looking at the short skirts up there in Iowa, and now they're going over there and they're in the rain and it's blowing 30.
Yeah. So the wind is going to be – is the wind going to be bad all 4 days, or is there going to be one down day that where they can
– Well, I did listen, as I said, to Darren Clark. He said it was going to be 15 supposedly blowing from the same direction, which would be down off the right on hole number one. And the way the golf course, if you ever look at the property, they'll play the first four holes downwind. There'll be some good scoring coming out of the gate, and then the whole course turns back, and you have to play back this – pretty much a square piece of property back into the wind the rest of the day. So it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Talking to Steve Elkington, won 10 times on the PGA Tour, including the 95 PGA Championship, two Players Championships. And you do have secretgolf.com. Tell us about it, because it has tips. You've got gaming. It looks like you got inside videos of courses. What's available there?
But pretty much everything. When I started this app or started this company 5 years ago when I left the tour, I wanted to be able to take all the knowledge that I had, right? All the years, everything that I know inside of my head, I wanted to get it out onto a site, and so that people like you guys can learn everything that these tour players know. And now I've got 33 tour players under contract that are involved with Secret Golf, and so you can go on there, you can subscribe. We have curriculum. If you're trying to break 90, you can go on there and follow the videos. It'll help you do that. Break 80, break 70, but the product that we just released this year is a gaming app, which is really fun because now you can go on SG Tour and you can pick your teams, and it's a peer-to-peer. So literally I can just invite you guys by email to my game and we all play together. So you don't have to put your name out there with 10,000 other people. We're going to play against – and that's really what we all do anyway when we go to the golf. We always walk on the first tee and say, what's the game, boys? Let's play.
Mm-hmm. I would never wager on golf. Kidding.
Well, you don't have to worry about beating me because you only have to beat the guys in your group.
Right.
When did you first start? Did you ever enter a golf pool, a season long golf pool with your buddies?
Never.
You've never done that?
No.
I've been doing it for 10 years probably, and it's the best thing ever created. I even got guys who don't even watch the tour. Like the guy sitting across the table from me right now doesn't even watch the tour.
Nope.
But he's in this golf pool because he loves to gamble on golf.
Yes.
The good thing about our deal is you're playing with each other's money, and the way I built it is, Secret Golf takes some entry fees of you guys using, basically taking away the piece of paper that you guys have had to use for all this time, all the emails and the faxes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick the payout. Like, I really like that when you have a big game, like a 50-person game for, say, $10, and you do a tour payout, we made a little equation so that you get the same kind of payout. We get 18% on a million if you win on the tour. So if you have a $500 game, that thing slides down to about 40%. So everybody gets a little money back, which is a very cool game with a tour payout.
I'm in. All right, let's talk about some of these players. There's a lot of pressure on Rory for a number of reasons. He's from this area. He shot 61 when he was 16 on this course. He knows it like the back of his hand. He's from Northern Ireland, and he hasn't won a major in, 5 years or so. So every time he enters the field at a major, there's always pressure on him to win. How do you feel like his chances are this week?
got to be good, you know, if he's going to have the most pressure of anyone over there, you know, because he's, you know, he's the golden child from Northern Ireland. He's great, and he's having a good year. You know, I don't think anyone would argue that he's lost a sort of a step in where he was mentally. I think physically his game is superior to almost everyone out there, but he seems to, you know, kick his toe every once in a while when it comes to these big events. And I think that's just pressure. Yeah. I mean, he only has to win the Masters to win the Grand Slam. And there's a reason I think there's only five guys that have won the Grand Slam. There's an enormous amount of pressure. And of course, this week with him going back to Northern Ireland, mate, there's going to be, they're saying there's going to be 250,000 people attend for this tournament for the week. So, and they're, you know, it's just going to be, it's going to be amazing to see what's going on over there. However, I do think there's a handful of other guys, a lot of guys are looking at Adam Scott this week, even though he doesn't putt that good. But when you get on these links greens, you don't have to putt that good because hitting the ball to these links greens is so much, it takes so much more skill.
Right.
And they can't get the greens too quick when they get over on links golf, otherwise you can't play.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep them about 10 on the stimp meter, which is about 5 feet less than they would at Augusta, or 4 feet less than they would at Augusta. So Adam Scott, mate, could be a guy that keeps it low, just pierces the ball. Another Aussie that I like a lot, one of my guys, is Mark Leishman, who's been runner-up in the British Open before, too. He comes from the windiest place in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to suit him fine.
What about Tiger? I mean, I'm like millions of people out there. I love to watch Tiger play, but I've just gotten so frustrated with his lack of playing, you know, between majors, been well documented. It feels like his practice time is way diminished. None of us are inside his body, so I get it, right? He's having a lot of difficulty, I guess, getting you know, staying healthy and strong throughout a tournament. But I just feel like it doesn't give him a great chance to win. I'm almost frustrated. I want him to get out there and grind, but maybe he's just not capable of doing that anymore.
I know. I'm with you, man. I'm like, my son grew up watching Tiger. Son Sam's a college golfer. And it's like if Tiger could get to the weekend, you know, near the lead, it's like his switch gets flipped on, right? It's
right.
From Thursday to getting to Saturday for Tiger is the big thing. Now, if the wind blows and he can hit his irons off the tee in position, because he is the biggest tactician. I mean, he has literally gone through two British Opens where he did not get in a bunker for the week. Remember when he won it, I think at Hoy Lake, he hit iron off every hole, laid up short of everything.
Right.
Tons of discipline. It's always a question mark when he pulls out the driver. Mate, and if he gets it sideways at Port Rush, I mean, it's adios, amigo. But
right.
It's just whether he can get to Saturday, mate. That's the question on him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Now, another huge advantage for a top player for Brooks Koepka is his caddy, Ricky Elliott, who is also from that area. He's a native of I think he's from Port Rush. And, you know, Koepka's won, what, four of the last eight majors?
He's always there.
He's always on top of the list anyway. But he's got that added extra bonus with his caddy. How much of an advantage do you think that is?
I would normally not say the caddy is a huge advantage, but this week, because there's so many shots that you hit across corners where you have to decide what the line is, and you're hitting across a lot of, you know, unplayable territory, I think Koepka is by far the favorite in my mind because, look, he's, you know, dropped his cards on the table and said, look, here's my game, fellas. Here's the way I'm going to play this deal. I don't care about the other events. I only care about this one. I know half you guys are going to choke. The rest of you are going to have to play against me. And now I've got the local caddy. Mate, if I'm Koepka, I'm just sitting pretty. I saw him practicing yesterday on the TV. He hits one putt on the practice on one of the holes he was playing. He hit one putt.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to his caddy who was walking off, and he went to the next tee. The other guys were left there to putt for 15 minutes because, mate, his caddy knows everything about the course, so he can just relax and conserve energy, and that's what I see.
So I assume you live in Florida, Steve?
No, I assume I live in Texas.
Oh, you live
down
in Texas.
Houston, mate. I like it down here where it's super hot and the mosquitoes are huge this time of year.
Yeah,
awesome.
You love it. So will you get up really early to watch coverage?
I think so, absolutely. You know, I'll watch for when the guns are teeing off. Of course, I'll have my scoring going the whole way, so absolutely going to watch it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, man, I don't know how you can live in Houston. I know you got a bunch of cash, but man, it's too hot
from
down there.
Australia. It's probably way hotter where he originally is from.
It is so hot, man.
Have you looked in the mirror where you live lately?
This time of year,
it's very humid and hot, but I don't think it matches up Houston.
No, we got you beat, mate. We're epic here. The ball goes about 20% less here in the summer. It's great.
Right. Yeah, you also got hurricanes, too. You got to deal with those.
Yeah, mate, we got that. And but we do have cold beer, and we do have a bunch of Texans around here that are a lot of fun to be around. I think that's, in the end of the day, I think that's the reason that I like it so much. It's very much like Australia growing up. A lot of farm people, you know.
Right,
good.
Right. Hey, listen, Steve, it's been a pleasure having you on, man.
Yeah, next time you talk to Bubba Watson, tell him we said hello.
Yeah, really. And, by the way, we got the Astros, mate.
That's
here
right.
We come.
You got
that's
the true. Astros. That's right.
Got that. Hey, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
SecretGoff.com.
Secret, yes, Goff.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.